Miller.
All right, welcome back to the new year, 2024. Tiger Turf Talk episode, I think it's 151. Wow, didn't know that would be happening, but you know, we're here. We're here with Mira Emma, the assistant groundskeeper for the Kansas City Current at the brand new state-of-the-art facility. You haven't started yet, like we just talked about, but we're really excited to have you on today. You're a recent graduate of Iowa State, correct?
Correct.
How you doing today? How's everything going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Now, what's really cool about your career, obviously, you're very young and you're just getting out of college, but you are a D1 college soccer player.
Correct.
You obviously firsthand as an athlete understand the significance of a sports field manager and what it entails. What was that like, you know, for you to have that opportunity to learn throughout your college career what that impact truly is, and how can you sort of explain to, you know, people that are from the outside, you know, not much of an athlete here. Used to be semi. I was a baseball player, so it wasn't really athletic.
Okay.
You know?
What position in baseball?
I was a catcher. So.
Oh, well, same. I can relate.
See, there you go. What was that like for you to be able to experience that in a college classroom to, you know, a college, you know, Division I high level playing? And again, with Big 12, Big 10.
Correct. Big 12. Yep.
Get that.
You got it.
That was fish out.
Knowledgeable right there. honestly, Iowa State was an absolute blessing. When I started my journey looking to play in college, I knew I wanted to play at a Division I level, but academics for me came first. So I knew going way back. So 8th grade, my brother and I, we started our own landscaping business. So we'd walk up and down the streets, you know, mowing people's lawns. I think we had a consistent like seven to nine people a week. He played baseball as well. He's 2 years younger than me. So that's kind of where turf kind of crept in
Love that.
So, you know, you go mow a lawn real quick, run off to basketball, run off to baseball, run off to soccer practice, whatever it was. But that kind of started my interest in turf. So when I sat down and talked with my mom, we were at the kitchen table, and she was like, "What exactly do you want to do with your life?" And I'm like, "Oh, I have no idea."
Thanks, mom. I really needed that in my life right now.
Right. I'm young. What am I, you know, my life? What? So I started going through, and she found turf grass management at Iowa State. She goes, "You need to look into this. Like, this is something that you would definitely, I think, enjoy." So I read the description. I was like, that is 100% what I want to do. I knew I wanted to stick into sports because obviously being an athlete, I want to stick around it. That's just in my nature. Started playing soccer when I was 3. So 19 years of playing, it's hard to kind of let go of that. But so as it progressed, Iowa State reached out and was like, "Hey, we want you to come to a soccer camp." I was like, awesome. Iowa State also has turf grass management program. Kind of check both off the list. And next thing you know, I was at freshman orientation. I committed to Iowa State, and Barbara Clausen, she's my academic advisor, and same as Adam Tomes. And I stepped on campus, and I had no idea who she was. She goes, "You're Mira Emma, right?" I'm like, yeah, who are you?" And she goes, "You know, I'm the horticulture, you know, department academic advisor. You're in the right place." So from then on, I knew I was going to be valued in whatever I did. My journey at Iowa State has been, like I said, an absolute blessing. So incredibly grateful for all the people that has, you know, helped me with all my connections. But then you talk about worlds colliding, playing at a collegiate level. You know, you talk about over in Europe, how the fields have to be so pristine. And you talk about professional level here, and then at the Division I level or any collegiate level, the pitch is really what makes a break a performance, in my opinion. You know, you think about the ball roll, the way that you play the game. If you have a possession based style where you want to keep the ball and you want to play, the ball roll is super important. So making sure that that's consistent, but also having, you know, your safety aspects of part of the field. So being a manager on that side, but also giving my input as an athlete, I think that is one of my advantages as I move forward into being an assistant or a future head groundskeeper.
Absolutely love it. Now, during your time there, I know you played on an artificial surface and you guys transitioned this past year to a hybrid pitch. What
Correct.
was that like, and how did you see the performance, just personally, like going back to, a natural grass pitch there at Iowa State?
Yeah, so 4 years I played on an artificial turf that was, I think by the end of it was like 10 or 12 years old, so that thing was padded down pretty well, but it made a world of a difference. It was night and day, the difference between an artificial and natural field. I think the hardest thing is or was going from a so we played Thursday Sunday games. You go at a home game on a Thursday and then you'd play Sunday, but then you travel to Texas or you travel to Oklahoma or Kansas, wherever, where there's a natural surface. Your body fatigue, it was so much greater because you go from a harder surface that has, like more compact cement kind of feel to it. And then you go to a softer natural turf that is more forgiving on your joints. So by the time you're recovering on Monday, you really felt it. But if you had two games back to back where you're playing on natural, just the way that your joints feel when you're playing, the recovery process on natural is so much quicker.
Absolutely. Now, sticking with Iowa State, you brought up Dr. Tomes. It is an incredible program. I mean, they have some of the best in the industry out there. Could you sort of take us through your experience in the program, how it helped you get to this point where now you're moving on into the MLS? Is it MLS? I apologize if that's.
NWSL, you got it.
All right, my bad.
Same
Sorry.
thing. A little different.
This, same level type thing. It's fine. It's fine. Sorry.
Yeah.
NWSL. Sorry.
Yes.
What was that like, and how has it prepared you to take on this next role?
Yeah. Adam Tones, like I said, he is someone great that you can connect with. He's very knowledgeable in every aspect. Took a few classes with him. We'd always check in every, once in a while, every other week, just talking about, potential opportunities. I know when I first got there, I thought I wanted to do baseball. And he happened to get me connected with the Cubs, Chicago Cubs, and I worked for summer 2 years ago
Dan the
under
man.
Dan Kiermaier
I love that
and
man so
crew.
much.
He's awesome. I mean, that whole crew was changed me, but absolutely love my time there. But yeah, moving into this past summer, I worked at Louisville, Racing Louisville and Lou City under Aaron Fink and crew. Again, learned so much, but that's kind of where I kind of sided. Kind of wanted to go to the soccer route, obviously being an athlete too. But just the experience of being able to connect with so many different people and having the resources that Adam Tomes provides. I think it was really cool. I got to be on ish. I helped with the seat establishment with the football field.
The
So when
sad
they,
farm.
yep, this
Sad
whole
farm.
sod farm project, and then once they transitioned to soccer, I was kind of in all the talks, but not like too much,
Hey, you're a student. You're in the talks if you're there,
Exactly,
man.
exactly. So that was really cool to see the process of how, the steps that they took to from 1 year going from football, what worked, what didn't work, to going to soccer. And then I happened to be able to play on the field. That turned into a hybrid based field that is probably, I think it's the only one in NCAA right now. So it's
Joe
definitely.
likes to be unique like that,
Yep, exactly.
So you obviously know Joe. Did you ever
Yes,
work for
yeah.
Joe while you were
I
there?
did work for Joe for the last 3 weeks. So once season ended, I had about a 3 week span before I graduated, and I was like, I need to go to work. I need to go and get with the guys. That's my little escape route, but I was like, I need to go, have a laugh with them. So
No, I work with Joe in New York. He's a great guy. Super excited to be there. Super excited for him. So.
yeah.
So it was short-lived, but obviously there's been a lot of changes, and you've seen from, again, like you said, in the room when they talked about football and all the transition, the hybrid pitch is something that's so new in a sense for the United States. Like you've talked about, across the pond and everything. It's sort of the standard over there, right? And FIFA is trying or is requiring, the World Cup pitches to have the hybrid stitch, or in some facet. I don't know everything. I've been told by many people many different things. So,
Yes.
what was that like to, see firsthand sort of again Iowa State take on that, hybrid pitch? And I was able to see it this past summer. I was up there seeing Joe, and it has the benefits and everything that comes with it, but for you firsthand seeing it being installed and how it played on the football stadium and then actually getting to play on it, what was that like, being able to see that system at, firsthand?
I think it's crazy the new technologies that are always coming. Like you said, over in Europe, that's kind of like the standard, and now it's kind of shifting over to the States. But the process of it is so fascinating to me. It's very different because you have to go about your culture practices in a little different way. You can't really take, full cores out of
Yeah,
artificial.
I would be that guy that, was like, hey, we gotta aerate this thing, let's get some cores out there. And all you see is just all of the stitch like laying on top of the surface, like, oh yeah, I wasn't supposed to do that. So sorry.
So when football field went down, they stitched, I think, one of the fields and then ended up stitching the practice field after. So they stitched the stadium first, realized they liked it, wanted to keep the practices the same, ended up doing it on the training field too. And I think it benefited them as well as moving it to soccer too, because now you're all uniform across three different fields, so you don't have to, worry about coring this one versus, solitining this one. But I got to see like the Grassmaster kind of go in and literally put down just stitches, and it'd go like it that thing moved like a turtle. It moved so incredibly slow. But we started off the season. We didn't have it stitched, the soccer season. Didn't have it stitched. They ended up stitching like 3 weeks in. Only did half the field for one of the games, and then we finished it. And that was just like the timing of how it all worked out. But I remember kind of at practice, we had to shift over because the thing was going through the middle of our field. But it's interesting. There's always a guy there. Whenever it was running, someone would always be sitting in it, and just every, like, it felt like every centimeter just stitched in, picked up, moved another centimeter, went in, stitched in. And when it was done, there's more of a like firm establishment to it, so that you could definitely feel the fibers. And looking back a year, so now football, going to switch it back to football, all those fibers have now like kind of started laying down, so you didn't it wasn't as prominent. But with the soccer field being so new, the fibers were so sturdy that it just you could definitely feel the difference. And I think over the course of the next year with culture practices and kind of working it in, it won't be as noticeable.
Yeah, Joe got his verticutter like the day before I arrived. He's like, I got my verticutter. About to go crazy with it. I'm like, all right.
Yep,
See,
exactly.
I would be sitting there like, I'm gonna break something, I'm gonna destroy it, I can't do it. Nope. It's in the back of my mind while I'm sitting on the tractor. I was like, but no, for sure. And I think that's really cool that you're able to tell the difference, and being able to see that. Now, something I'm curious about, and I usually ask students that I interview, and obviously you're a post grad, but what would be your pitch, Iowa State over everyone else when it comes to going to school for turf grass? What is it that's like the benefit of, being a turf cyclone, if you will?
Turf cyclone. Honestly, like, man, it's hard to put into words. I think again, for me, being a female in the industry, that was something that kind of stood out to me. Going into the turf program, there was a 3% to 97% ratio. So, 97% male, 3% female, but
I
as I
thought that was the other way.
graduated,
Sorry, I was. No, I got you. I got you.
but when I graduated, it was 95.5. So it's kind of cool to see the females and how they've had the impact in the turf industry. But at Iowa State, resources and education is literally right on a platter for you. It's incredible the people that will go. I mean, it's incredible how much the people care about you and how valued you are in your journey that they'll get you places. It's just how much you put into it.
I love that. Love that. Part of that journey sometimes, I don't know if you would have been able to, maybe you guys probably went on deep runs, but part of that journey is the SFMA, conference, being a part of the student challenge and everything. Were you able to do that?
I luckily was able to last year, and then I'll be doing it
Are you
this year.
going to attend this year? Very
I'll be there.
nice, very nice. So part of all that is being a part of the association and, making that network. What has that been like for you as a student now to be coming into the new role, to be able to go down to Daytona Beach and be a part of it as a, full-time sports field manager? What has that been like for you, and what are you most excited for specifically this trip?
Well, one, Daytona Beach is warm, so I'm excited for the warmth. But
I was looking at it the other day. I was like, okay, how warm is this gonna be? Because I'm like 90 is maybe a little too much, but like,
hey,
it says 70 and then 50 at night. I'm like, I can handle that, I like that.
I love that. No, that's actually perfect.
Perfect weather.
And yeah, snow's fine for me. It's just anyway, besides the point. I think it's really cool just to be a part of. I mean, I didn't even know what this industry really was 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And I think now being able to go down there and kind of have a story and kind of had a journey of how I've gotten where I am, like that's pretty cool to reflect on for sure. But also just really talking, connecting, going to educational, sessions that can really, like, there's so much out there that you can learn from. Whether that's new technology, whether that's, really just diversifying your knowledge of what turf is. I'm excited, like I said, going down there, being with other people around in the industry. Like, that's
For
my favorite
sure.
part.
For sure. For sure. Now, obviously, a lot that comes from SFMA as a student, what you're looking for is obviously internships. You spoke of Dan and Aaron. Aaron, right? Okay, sorry.
You're right.
What were those experiences like for you? Obviously, hopefully, that's not too far for you when it comes to where you're at. And I didn't realize how close it was until this past summer when I drove up to Minneapolis and then drove back down through Kansas City to so how close all that really is when it comes to Chicago and the Midwest in a sense. I know it was part of the Midwest, but it's just I didn't realize it was that
Crazy.
close. So what was that like to be able to go out and be a part of something that, is so unique when it comes to being on a grounds crew in the MLB and then the MLS? What was that experience like for you?
My dream before I got to Iowa State was to be an MLB groundskeeper, heads groundskeeper. And I wanted to work for the Chicago Cubs. Grew up a Cubs fan. Hands down, I was like, nope, no one can change my mind. Like, this is what I'm doing. And then ended up getting an internship, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is what I
This is
like.
real.
And I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on?
Yeah.
I remember turning the corner, the assistant Graham, he's like, yeah, here's the stadium. And I was like, oh, it's Wrigley. Like, whoa.
Don't you love that when they're just like numb to the fact you guys work on Wrigley Field every day, okay?
I remember, so Eli, one of the the crew members, he was assistant now, but he was talking to me, and he's like, you kind of take it for granted sometimes. Like, you walk around here and you gotta, take a deep breath real quick and just realize you're working at Wrigley every single day. Like, how cool is that? Like, not a lot of people can say that. But I think the biggest thing that stood out with that group and just working there all summer is the personalities of each person. I think, turf groundskeeper, you it's a passion driven job. So you have to love the people that you're working with because you're going to spend a lot of hours with them, that's for sure.
Just a few, yeah.
Yeah, just a few. Yeah. But I think that's the biggest thing that I learned is like having that personality and being able to have a positive attitude when you come to work and just absolutely enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. Mine was I worked at PNC, so it was like looking up at the skies. Yeah,
Okay.
you know what? Yeah,
Cool.
it could be worse, you
Yeah,
know?
no, that's yeah, you're
It's
like, right.
like
And
hour 18 of like a concert night. I'm like,
I would say after, yeah, the transition from concert to game to resod to
God bless the MLB guys. I gotta tell you that much, you know?
oh, seriously, they're built different, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
But
Now,
yeah.
obviously, all this is leading to where you're at now, you know, being able
Sure.
to approach the idea of, again, being an assistant groundskeeper. What was that process like for you, and how was, you know, finding the KC Current? Obviously, the first ever in existence, professional women's soccer. Sorry, I don't know the
Stadium.
association, but stadium, you know, US,
BPKC Stadium. Yes.
okay,
Yep.
USWL, is that right?
NWSL.
And this.
Yeah, you got
I'm just gonna write that down real quick.
it. Yeah,
Sorry, go ahead. The stadium,
yeah.
obviously.
So that whole process, this past summer, I worked with Racing Louisville down in Louisville. And so I got a different, perspective with soccer. Seeing how brand new, I mean, they're what, 4 years old down there. Got to see how, soccer was run, the way their stadium was, whatnot. I ended up having kind of a dream to work a World Cup. And so the last weekend that I was down there, Jackson Kramer, the head at Kansas City Current, ended up taking a visit. And so I met with him, talked with him about, what things are like in Kansas City, transition zone, all of those challenges that you just sometimes want to smash your head into a wall, but it's, hey, happens.
Never.
Never.
Love freezing cold soil. It's fine.
That's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, now with the subair units, it's crazy what, technology, I said.
Little high school. We don't have
Yeah,
the
no,
luxury of
exactly. Well, it was new to me, too. It
No,
was new to me. I was like,
I
wow, this
got you.
is
I got you.
sweet.
Yeah.
Sitting at the screen, it's like 120 degrees. I'm like, whoa, you can bump it up and bump it down.
Put a
But
120. I didn't fry the Bermuda. It wasn't me. I'm
oh,
sorry.
exactly. Let it go. But got in contact with Jackson, and so since I was at Iowa State, it was only a 3 hour drive south. About mid-season, he texted me and was like, hey, we met over the summer. He said there's always a position. We'd love to have you down for a visit. So, I took advantage of that and ended up going down mid-season. It was one of our off days. I think we landed at like midnight and I drove the next morning, met in the afternoon, and then drove back that night. I was like, hey, it's worth it. But something that caught my eye was in 2026, they'll be hosting a country, and that would be their brand new facility that they just built. Will be a training facility for a country when they come. So that is what stood out to me. But also being in the soccer realm of things, I don't want to leave that and be on the women's side of sports. The women's game is absolutely just exploding right now, and it's really something special to be a part of.
Now, are you concerned that you might have to try out for the team while you're there? It's just a thought, you know. Like, you played at Iowa State? How good are you? We need a sub today, you
Well,
know.
it's a funny story. My best friend is actually the goalkeeper there, one of the goalkeepers.
That's
So
awesome.
there's a little connection, but no, so that's all her. I'll just maintain the 18 for six yard box,
She's gonna be like, "What's wrong with this blade of grass right here? What's going on? What'd you do here? You see me slip right there? Come on.
Yep,
What are we
all be my
doing?
fault.
What are
It's all
we
right.
doing?"
It's
It's
all
just
right.
easier for the players, to be honest,
Yeah.
to blame the groundskeeper. It's simple, right? It's like the Raiders last night. Did you see that?
I didn't watch the Raiders game.
So, well, it was over social media. They had the end zone was like bad shape, because they paint black all year round, and it's not really the best type of paint for grass.
Probably just destroyed it.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but I mean, everything else was fine. Everything else was safe. But like,
Yeah.
everyone's like, "How could they let this happen?" And I'm like, "Guys, come on! This is
Think about it.
like, what are they actually gonna do? The Raiders haven't been able to get in the end zone all year long. What are we worried about? You
It
know."
was like last night too, the Bears Packers game. Everybody, like the first quarter, people are slipping all over the place, and the announcer made some comment and was like, "Oh, they're slipping around." And I'm like, "Think about it. It's January. The grass is green, and you're in Green Bay. Like,
What do you expect? Like,
what do you
I
expect's gonna happen?"
was like, you can go get the artificial and tear your ACL if you want. I mean, that's up
Yeah,
to you.
exactly. Yeah, like what?
No,
Oh
that's,
man.
and it's funny because, like, Those comments always get to me in the sense, like, obviously we want what's best for the players, and we want to make sure that they're safe, and we want to make sure all that works out. But you don't realize how many hours, they put into it, like the time that it took them to blow up, the tarp so it's warm underneath there so it didn't freeze, the sub air, all the different things that go into it. Like no one's paying attention to the countless hours that went into just making sure that you have your ability to announce the game,
No,
from
exactly.
your heated box,
The 5-course meal coming your way.
Oh, it's a hard life being an announcer.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, but obviously, being a part of something brand new, what are you most excited for that aspect of it? Being able to open up the first ever facility and just being there from the beginning, what has that sort of meant to you?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, it's gonna be wild. It's going to be, maybe talk about it all the time. Like, it's gonna be the year of this stadium. And it's gonna be something that, you definitely want to put in your sightseeing list. But the organization just seems absolutely unreal. And I'm extremely grateful to be a part of that. But every single game is going to be so much fun. Like, just the environment, I can't even imagine being a player like that. That just makes me want to get back out there at the same time. But
We were right next to him, just on the other
exactly.
side of the line,
Exactly. I'll be on the other side making sure that's
Yeah.
okay. But no, that, I mean, it's season tickets are sold out. They've been sold out for the last month. Every single game is going to be something special. And I think that for the fan base, gives Kansas City a new light, especially in women's sports. But allowing, other teams and other places to hopefully like allow this to be the next step in making this more of like a regular thing of having a, female stadiums all over the place.
I love it. And I love the way it's set up, right on the river, and just the way everything is made. I think it's gonna be really big, and I'm excited to see where the year takes you guys for sure.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Obviously there's a lot that goes into the organization, a lot that goes into scheduling and all that. How is it, being a part of that and really wrapping your head around, in the next couple of months, you're going to be starting up and getting everything ramped up, and you're playing probably, is the schedule 10 months long?
Yeah, roughly,
So
yeah.
again, anyone in soccer, I'm like, okay, your guys' schedule keeps just like getting bigger and
Increasing.
bigger and bigger. And
Yep.
it's like, hey guys, maybe, there's more than 12 months in the year. We don't know this. What are you most excited for when it comes to the actual like grind of being a groundskeeper, being able to take up that next step in your career and being a part of it?
Yeah, it's definitely changed, that is for sure. Definitely a little different than going to school every day. But I think once I, getting into the routine of being around professional athletes, I know they've started an academy there too. So they have artificial fields. So at the training facility, they have two natural fields for the professional team. And then they have artificial fields in the back for their academy, youth academy coming up. So I think just being a part of, everyday tasks, getting things done, making sure that the fields absolutely perfect, for minimal injuries, minimal, issues. So the athletes and anyone else on the field can perform at their absolute best.
You mentioned the transition zone. Obviously, there are a lot of things that go into that, and you've seen it probably. I mean, Iowa State isn't technically in it, but technically is in a sense. I'd say they are. It was 98 degrees when I drove by, and bluegrass isn't like 98, so I'm gonna say it's transition. But what are you looking forward to when it comes to the challenges that are obviously with everything that goes into it? I know I've talked to Travis Hogan about all the different things that go into maintaining Arrowhead, and he's talked to your boss about things that are going on with heating and all that. What are you excited for to learn, but also, what challenge are you looking forward to most when it comes to growing Bermuda grass in the transition zone, which we all know and love?
It's gonna be tough. There's gonna be definitely a learning curve. I think having a brand new stadium too. I know we have brand new growth lights, so you're gonna that's gonna be a process. You know, the shade of the stadium and how certain corners, the south corner, I think it is, or north corner, I can't exactly remember, but gets more sunlight than the other side. So understanding, you know, how those growth lights are gonna help, making sure you have, you know, your programs set in place, your fertilizing applications, everything's going to be brand new. So it's going to be kind of like a test year. What goes right, what goes wrong. But at the end of the day, like, we're just out here growing grass. Like, failure is accepted. So once one thing doesn't work, how can you switch it up a little bit to make sure it does work? But I think, yeah, it's, I'm excited to see. I've never, like I said, I've never worked for a long, extensive period of time in the transition zone. I got a little piece of it this past summer in Louisville when, you know, they went from overseeding and that transition to get all the ryegrass out into the Bermuda. And there were parts of me where I'm like, this is literally this like OCD part of me is what is going on with this field. Like, it looks like weeds are everywhere. I'm getting upset because it's not cutting right. You have to cut it twice, you know, all these different things. So I think honestly, you gotta go in with an open mind and just be patient with the whole process of it.
Yeah, you're like, I gotta get the tweezers. This isn't working. We gotta
No,
get this.
exactly. And I'm like,
We
why
gotta
does
get
this look
this
like
next thing. I'm
crab
done.
grass? But it's not. But I'm just like, what is going on?
And that's crazy to me is you guys have to do it right in the heart of your season. Me, I just smoke it, and I got the
Yeah.
summer to grow it back in. You know,
That's nice.
I got a nice
That's nice.
setup for when it comes to transition
Yeah.
zone. You
Do you
know,
ever phrase moment?
we have not. Because the cost is
Yeah.
way up. So like
Yeah.
you're talking, I think it's 16K just to
Okay.
get a phrase on it. And I'm like
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah,
So
no.
we did just renovate.
Okay.
We had a situation. Every school in our county has artificial turf, right? So we were up and someone saved us. I don't know who it was, but thank you. From transitioning that to artificial as well. So we have an artificial practice field now, but we needed a new track. So part of the new track was they were gonna take up like 80% of the field and leave 20% for me to maintain while they transitioned it back to natural grass. I was like, that's not how that works, guys.
Nope.
Sorry. It's not, nope, we're not doing
Yep.
that. So I convinced our school system to put in irrigation. I was like, since it's torn up, why are we not changing out, you know, you're doing this new initiative with this new irrigation system. I'm like, it's a pretty good idea. I was like,
Yeah,
that, you know.
yep.
But we put in Iron Cutter, which
Okay.
is, I almost went with Northbridge, which is what I think you guys have.
Yeah, that's what we have.
So everyone always says Tahoma's the best. And I have nothing against Tahoma. We have a Tahoma practice field that it does great. But Northbridge was like, far above and beyond when it came to transitioning out, green up, fall color, like everything that we had, because we have six now, six different varieties, Latitude, Patriot, Iron Cutter, Tahoma, Riviera, and Northbridge. But like it was like a decision on, you know, I'm obviously a teacher, but I want to make sure we are giving the kids the opportunity to see the differences and understand the differences. So when we went with Iron Cutter, I was shocked by how well it did, you know.
Yeah.
We had a couple snafus with our install. The track had to be painted like 6 weeks into the grow-in.
Oh,
And they
geez.
were like, you can't get on the field for I think they said 2 weeks. I was like, yeah, right. They wanted me to turn the water off and everything. I was like, you're
Yeah,
fine.
this isn't gonna work.
You're funny.
Yep,
And
exactly.
so my athletic director got it down to like 4 days. I was like, that's even too much for me. And they're like, well, you know, that turned into 17 days where I couldn't get on the field.
Oh man,
And I was like,
how long was that?
you know, it was like almost 2 inches tall and we were
Yep.
cutting it at half an inch. So it's like, ah.
Oh man,
So, you know,
now
what
you
else to do, but, you know, scalp the living hell out of it.
oh yeah.
Which then led to, you know, a little disease. And yeah, you know, the best time.
Oh
But we got it,
no.
the rebound, because that was like last week of July, beginning of August, and we had a game August. This is the first week of August, game first day of September, September 1st. So it rebounded 21 days. Like, I was like, I don't even know what's going on right now. But you know,
Pushing it.
for sure. Yeah.
That's what
And
you should
we're in
see.
Virginia where like we're restricted to like 4 pounds of nitrogen. And it was
Yep.
funny. Every state I went, so I did a little tour this summer for podcasting, and I was talking to everyone like, there are no restrictions here. I was like, oh, thanks. Thanks, guys.
Rubbing it right in your face.
Like literally, like I would have loved to throw 10 pounds of nitrogen out, but you're like, oh yeah, we don't have any. There's no restrictions here.
Oh,
Gotta love
man.
it, you know. But sorry, I keep talking about
Oh, no, I
me.
love it.
Obviously, you know, you were talking about the passion, how you found this industry. What was it for you to be able to, you know, follow your dream and be able to walk out on the Wrigley Field? You know, like that moment, like, how has that passion kept you driven, and what is driving you now, you know, when it comes to the next step and being able to pursue your dream of becoming a head groundskeeper in whatever sport that may be, whenever that happens, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like I said, I think having a an athletic background and being an athlete, I think I like I said, I didn't even know like a ground crew member, crew manager, whatever, like I didn't even know they existed before college. Like, yeah, someone's got to do the work, but I think that's the thing that stood out to me the most was understanding how much behind the scenes work it is, and that people just don't get enough credit for what they do. And being able to now looking back on all my experiences working at Iowa State, I worked under Tim Van Loo first, then Josh Trevirdick, and then Joe Hill at the end. And then under Dan Tiermeyer at the Cubs and then Aaron Fink. Just how each I'd say like each experience was different in their own way. Obviously, working in college athletics, it's a lot different. You know, you have more responsibilities, different fields, but also you are navigating through different coaches. This coach wants something else. You know, you're being pulled in different directions. And you go to the Cubs, and it's, you know, one sport, and you're focused in on one field all the time. But then you got to think about concerts, and different like donor events and sponsor events and tryouts that you don't necessarily think of. So that brings a different perspective into it. And then going to soccer down in Louisville at Lynn Family Stadium, just understanding the roles of what soccer brings. And the hours are different, different demands each day, where the training facilities are, but going through each of those, I just had a passion throughout the whole time. Everything was a little bit different, but my passion stayed the same to one, make sure that the field was the safest. But, you know, I'm someone that I enjoy serving other people. So when it's, you know, perfect and other people enjoy it, that satisfies me. So understanding, like, all right, I just, you know, mowed this specific pattern in and someone liked it. And I'm like, all right, check it off the list. Like, on to the next task. So how can I be a help of someone else? But I think that goes the same as entering into, you know, a new position, assistant at Kansas City, you know, whatever tasks are asked of me every day, that's exactly what I'm going to do. But have some fun with it, work hard, but also you can play hard too. You know, now it doesn't need to be all tight all the time and super focused in, but understanding like you do have a job, but you can have some fun while you're doing it.
I love that. I love how, you know, where you talk about, you know, serving someone else in the sense of, you know, providing that, you know, that opportunity. And I think that has so much more weight to it than you probably would even think. You know, obviously it's great to have that satisfaction and everything, but taking it to the next level beyond that one person that you've had an impact, and think about all the other people you've impacted, whether that's, you know, something that you did for you know, the sales team that led to more money for the organization, whether that's my mentor at Virginia Tech, Dr. Goatley, he always used to tell us we are in the memory making business. You know, you have, I think the coolest thing, and again, let me know how it goes, but
Yeah.
the first game, you know, that you guys have at the stadium, like the impact that's going to have on the outlook of, women's soccer professionally, and the fans that are there, the little girls that are there, that are like, this is happening. 10 years ago, this wasn't a possibility. This wasn't even a thought, and for you to be a part of that, I think it's so incredible. And thank you for that. Obviously, a lot of us are going to be watching, and it's going to be some, movement in the right direction, which is going to be so awesome to see. So, I
No, I
just,
appreciate that. Thank
yeah, I
you.
just wanted to put that out there. But,
Thank you. Thank you. Giving me chills thinking about it, though.
sorry, sorry. Again,
That
you have
was
to
good.
shoot me a text after the game and be like, okay, you're right. That's
Yeah.
pretty
I'll
cool.
just send you a picture. I'll be like, hey, look at
Yeah,
this packed
perfect.
stadium. So loud, I can't even hear
That's
my own
awesome.
thoughts.
For sure. That's awesome. Now, obviously, a lot goes into everyday lives and whatnot, and obviously work and dealing with the stresses of making sure that you're doing the job right. What are some of the things that you use sort of as an outlet, in the sense of, okay, even this would probably be more related to the sense of, studying for exams and so or even obviously, when we talk about Division I athletics, like no one truly knows how much you do when it comes to like workouts, trainings, you have conditioning, you have, I was a D3 athlete for a year. So I,
Okay. You get a sense of it.
semi get it, but like all
Yeah.
of the things that you do to make sure that you can perform at the highest level in D1 soccer, in a division that's well known for soccer, right? What is that sort of like in the sense of, when it comes to, preparation and all that? I kind of lost my thought there. I think, yeah.
Yeah, no, I so one thing that I do is I like to like
Okay,
come
that's
like
right. I asked about the outlet. I'm sorry. I forgot
no, I got you. Yeah,
that
the
part.
outlet
Thank you.
piece, the outlet
I
piece, because
appreciate it.
it can be overwhelming, like I mean stressful, having your abs your day just packed to the max. But I think time management is a big thing. But personally I like to like compartmentalize, well, in my head, just things that I like to do, and when things become too stressful, what do I do? So, listening to music, that's my usual go-to, or going for a walk, your classic. But I'm big into FaceTime, so I FaceTime my family all the time. My boyfriend, who's out in Boston, I'll always in contact with him. But I do like to travel around, kind of seeing. Obviously, that's a little bit more difficult when you're, working 8, 9, 10 hour days or 15 hour days, whatever, you're called upon. But I think definitely finding an outlet and allowing yourself to not just be all about work, that's definitely healthy in the sense, because I know some people get really, uptight about, well, this isn't gonna work, or thinking about work after work hours. Obviously, yeah, it's gonna be fun to think about it, but you don't need to add more stressors to your life.
Absolutely. Now, you said travel. What are some of the places, top places in the world that you want to go travel to?
Oh, see, so this past summer, I went down to Costa Rica,
Ooh.
and we went and helped. I went with an organization with Iowa State, and we went down there and did a service project,
Nice.
and we created a sports court for a community down there. So we laid cement for 3 days, we knocked it out, and then we got to play, basketball, volleyball, whatever, soccer, on that court. So I think, again, acts of service, that's something that I pride myself in. Being a good human, obviously impacting as many people as I can, but that experience was absolutely life-changing. And just being able to help out and just see how genuinely happy people with such little things, it kind of makes you think about what your wants and your needs, like how much do you actually need, how much of that need is actually a want. So traveling, I could go to, I don't even know, like Italy would be my dream spot,
Is
would be Italy.
Italy? All right, where in Italy? Because it's there are so many things to see in Italy. Like
I
it,
know. I think you gotta go to like Rome. Like you gotta go
I think
back.
that's a given,
That's like your touristy
You just
spot.
fly, you fly into Rome. Let's
Yeah,
say like.
exactly. And then you just walk around. Even not like so my ancestors from Sicily.
Very nice.
I think I gotta go
So.
that route.
Napoli and Sicily all down there at the bottom of the boot. That'd be fun.
Exactly.
Any other specific places?
I'm out in Boston right now. So that's always fun to kind of tour around. Obviously I'm from Chicago, so seeing the city.
Gotcha. Where in Chicago are you from?
I'm from Wheaton, so right outside the
Is that
city,
north?
about it's straight west.
Yeah, did you know Lake Zurich?
That's north.
I visited Lake Zurich every summer when I was a kid. I
No
got
way.
family out there. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, it's a great town, great place, you know.
That's about like 45 minutes to like an hour north of me.
Yes. I think it's about split between Chicago and the border of
Okay.
Wisconsin, I believe.
Okay.
If I remember, which I should because we went so many times, but at the same time, you know, wow. It's been a while. No, but no, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Obviously I always like to figure out, you know, specifically from people's experiences and you being so young in this industry and everything. I'm a high school teacher and I teach kids about the opportunity when it comes to the turf grass industry. I always finish with these two questions, you know, to give them a little insight into what, you know, certain professionals are thinking. You obviously found this very young, you know, the dream at that age is incredible. And that's so awesome to see. And hopefully you've been able to talk to people like Nicole Sherry and all of them who had those same dreams, you know. Obviously, this isn't to make things better or like make it easier. If there was one thing that you wish you knew before you started pursuing this, what would that one thing be and why?
Oh, that's a tough question. One thing that I wish I would have known. Man, putting me on the spot now.
Sorry.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. I said, I go back to like people, like not like managing people, but how to interact. Like, I think I've learned over the last, you know, how many years, 4 years, 5 years, like how to like interact and ask certain questions, that I didn't know before. So I wish I would have, you know, known or been willing to ask more questions when I was younger. Because I always felt like I had like a fear of like, oh, well, you know, I don't know much. Like, I don't know. I need to learn first. But it's like, might as well just ask the questions because then now you know. So definitely, I think asking questions earlier on.
For sure. And I think, I mean, when you talk about kids nowadays, they're very, I don't know if it's timid, which they're definitely not in my classroom. I'll tell you that right now. But when you put them in a crowd with new people, there is this like sense of like concern that they're going to do wrong, you know? And I think what you're saying is perfect to get over that, you know, because there's a need. When you talk about like COVID and the impact it's had, I think a lot of people forget about the fact that, you know, you take a teenager and lock them in a room for 2 years, they're not exactly going to be hunky dory and okay when they come out, right? So
Exactly. Exactly.
there's a lot with that statement that resonates with everything that I'm trying to achieve with these kids, you know, trying to get them out of their comfort zone and understand. I mean, we're bringing two teams down for the student challenge. God, I hope they do okay.
That'll be fun.
It'll be fun for them. I'll just be nervous outside, you know.
Yeah, you know.
But,
It's
you
okay.
know.
I'll say hi to him. We'll interact. Don't worry.
Sounds good. I'm sure they'll love to meet you. But, you know, it's hard to get people to understand that in a way, in a sense, you know, not like all adults, but certain adults that, you know, maybe aren't interacting with kids recently or whatever it is, you know, it's crazy to see how far it's come since then.
Yeah.
But the last question I always ask, sorry,
No, you're all
the
good.
if you were to give my students any words of advice, what would be your best words of advice for them, you know, taking that next step? And maybe it's not into the turf industry, but taking that next step in their life where they're graduating and moving into, you know, a real world setting, whether that's college, job, or
Yeah.
obviously a job in the industry.
Right. I would just say like one, like no question's a dumb question. So back to the questions, like asking. But just you don't have to have life figured out. I think a lot of people, you know, graduate or go to go on to college or whatnot, or once you graduate college, it's like, oh, I need to have everything planned out, what I'm going to do, and this and that. And it's like your world would be turned upside down in a day. Like, it's okay to not have it figured out. It's okay to kind of roll, like just go with the flow. And things will just come your way. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And, set your goals high. And I think sometimes, like, oh, I just want to, set a goal to achieve by the end of the week, which is great. But trying to go towards like long-term goals, where you want to end up, what you kind of want to do. If you have a passion for something, just absolutely dive right into it. It's okay to fail too. Like, that's the one way you learn. I think that was a big thing that I learned at Iowa State was, all right, just broke this string line. Now I got a string about 150 feet of string to re line it out. But just understanding, like, take a risk. It'll pay off in the end.
Truly incredible,
Thanks, man.
honestly, everything you just said. I mean, I cannot thank you enough for that, because it is everything that anyone, really, even adults, need to hear right now, So I really want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for taking the time today. It's been incredible having you on.
Thank you. I appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah, of course, of course. I'm excited to see the year and where your career takes you,
Thank you. Thank you. I'll definitely send you that picture right on the field. And
Sounds great. I'm excited. I'm excited for it, for sure.
yeah, well, good luck. You guys just get off a break.
We are back for,
A while, right?
yeah, we've been back since last Wednesday, Tuesday.
Oh, so okay, so you guys
We went
still.
back the day after New Year's.
Oh man.
They're so
Whoa.
great. They're so gracious to us,
Wow, that's tough. As I say, my mom's a teacher back at home. She's a
Oh,
coach.
yeah.
And
God
she
bless
just went
her.
back. Yeah, she just went back today.
Yeah, I
But they had
was
an
waiting.
institute day, so they got an extra day in it.
Well, what are you gonna do? I'm happy for her.
Exactly.
No, I wish I was in the same boat, but no, we were back.
Yeah.
We were back the day
Exactly.
after, so
Well, good
always.
luck prepping your kids for SFMA.
Yeah, we've been. Yeah, they're. I think they're done with me, I'll be honest. We've spent a lot of time. We actually. Right here, we got our study guide, and I actually had them do it themselves. So that was the, that's the other thing. They loved stuff handed to them. I was like, nope, you're
Yep.
gonna learn. And now I've got ChatGPT, which they probably use the entire thing on. So
Yeah, that's a
they're
powerful tool
like,
right there.
what do you
Yep.
mean? I didn't use ChatGPT. I'm like,
I just typed it in, it just popped up.
sure it didn't, it's fine.
That always works.
Yeah, but
Well, great.
again, I want to thank you for everything.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.